you have your copy of God's Word, if you turn there, Joshua chapter 24, we'll be taking our text from. And we will be looking at pretty much all this chapter at a point, but I only want to look at two verses tonight, Joshua 24, verses 14 and 15. Joshua 24, 14 and 15. And here the Bible says, "Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the reading of your scripture. I'm praying now that you help me for just a few minutes to be able to expound this text. God, that you be glorified in everything that's said and done tonight. And these things we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Well, in the previous chapter, this chapter 23, we see Joshua saying what he thought was his final words. It's coming down to the end of Joshua's life, and he knows that. He didn't know exactly when it was going to be, but he felt that it was coming soon. And so he gathered everyone around to give him his last dying words. Well, he continued to live for a while. He had led a good life, fought a good fight. The Bible says that he was old and stricken in age by this time. And so he's gathered everybody around to say goodbye. This is the final year of his life. He lived to be 110 years old. Pretty good long time to live. But he wanted to make sure that the children of Israel did not stray from the teachings that had been taught the truth. Moses, of course, had started them out with the truth. And we know what all happened there. The children of Israel were always rebelling against Moses. And then Joshua took over after Moses, after God took Moses. He took him up on the mountain and then took him. And his eyes closed, even though he seemed to be in perfect health, but it was time for the Lord to take Moses. And so Moses had left the charge of the children of Israel into Joshua's hands. He was the most capable. And if you remember, it was only Joshua and Caleb that were allowed to even see the promised land. All the other children of Israel that left Egypt originally, they perished in the wilderness because of their disobedience. And so Joshua is the natural leader here, and he's led for a good long time. He's led them into the land of promise, and everything is going fine, except he wants to make sure that they stay grounded in the truth. And so here in chapter 24, Joshua obviously has lived a little longer than what he expected, and so he calls again another final meeting of all the children of Israel, and it's in Shechem. And this time it appears to be somewhat of a religious type of meeting. He even calls for the Ark of the Covenant to be brought in, which I believe is about 10 miles away in Shiloh from where they're at this point. And so he's wanting the people to realize that God's presence is with us. That's the whole reason for bringing in the Ark of the Covenant, because they realized that wherever the ark was taken, that God's presence was there. He said he would be with them, and that ark represented that. You may remember that they would carry it. The priests would carry it up on the staves that held it, and they would watch it. And in fact, God even told them when they were crossing over the swollen Jordan to watch that ark as they crossed over, because his presence was there. Well, so Joshua calls for the priests to carry this ark in on this occasion. And he wanted them to know how important it was. Believers today, of course, we don't look for a physical ark that we watch or that we know that God's presence is in. God's presence is in the hearts of His believers. All people that belong to the Lord, His presence is with us. The Bible says in Matthew 18:20, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Now, we know that's talking about church discipline in that text, but it's still the truth, the underlying truth of those words that Jesus says is, if they are two or three gathered together in His name, He's going to be in the midst of them. Well, the truth is, even if one person is there in the name of Jesus to worship, He's there in the midst as well. But so we see the children of Israel, they know that God's presence is with them and in their midst. So Joshua goes through a little bit of the brief history of the Israelites. Now remember, some of these were, or all of these actually, did not come from Egypt. Their parents did, And they were the offspring. They were born out in the wilderness. Remember, they were there 40 years wandering around in that desert. So these people did not really know all the things that God had done, except for what had been passed down to them. Now, they've heard the stories. They heard how Moses held up his staff and parted the Red Seas, and they crossed over on dry ground. They heard about the water coming out of the rock. They heard about the manna coming from heaven. They knew about all that, but they were not physically there for most of that. And so Joshua gives a history of their people and how even Abraham had led them and Moses had led them into the land of Canaan, and how Abraham at the beginning had led, God had told him to come into the land of Canaan. He would give that to him. He also goes into the fact about Abraham having 12 sons and the 12 tribes of Israel and how important that was and how the land was distributed and all that between them. And how God had led their fathers into battle and prevailed and watched over them and protected them. And so he wants them to remember what all God has done for them. He wanted them to have a renewed sense of fear of God and respect. You see, you can get lax sometimes in your walk with God. Sometimes you may think, well, I've been a Christian for so long and I've followed God all my life and of course I love Him and respect Him, but you can find yourself getting into such a position where you start losing that healthy fear of God that you should have. We should all have that healthy fear of God. And so Joshua wants them to have this fresh in their mind, and so he's fixing to hit them right in the family legacy, which leads us up to our opening text here in Joshua 24. And 14, and he says to them, as they're all gathered around, the Ark of the Covenant's there, God's presence is with them, and so he says this to them after giving them all that history. He says, "Now, therefore, fear the Lord, and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord." Well, that's the first thing that Joshua mentions to them. Fear the Lord, he says. Fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and truth. They already knew that they were to do this. I mean, they know that. It's one of the laws, in fact. When God gave the Ten Commandments, that's one of those things that they were to do. And they knew they were supposed to do this. Otherwise, God, He could wipe them off the face of the earth if they bowed down to false gods and false idols, and they fully know that. But a lot of them apparently had become lax. They were worshiping the idols that their fathers were worshiping back in the land of Egypt. And so if you look at Deuteronomy 6 and 13, if you want to, it gives us the law which plainly states about fearing the Lord. It says in Deuteronomy 6 and 13, "Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve Him and shalt swear by His name. You shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth." So they knew this. They've been taught this as young children. Their parents had brought them up under the admonition of God. They knew this commandment that God had given there when He gave the law to Moses. That at any time, God, if they turned their back on Him, then He could destroy them. He says, "I can destroy you from off the face of the earth." And so Joshua's giving them a very vivid reminder of this. They need to keep this in their minds. And there's not enough people that are standing up for the truth. You see, he wanted to make sure when he's gone, when he's dead and gone, which will be soon, that in his absence that things were not going to fall apart. We have to do that as Christians. And as leaders, especially. As a leader of the church or leaders of a Christian movement, of some type of ministry, you need to make sure that what you do is tell the truth to the people that are in the ministry, that are following you, to give them the truth so that they'll have that. That way, when you are gone, they can fall back on those truths. I've always tried to preach the truth. And when I've been a leader, a pastor, a preacher, or even a Sunday school teacher, you need to make sure you're always preaching the truth of God's Word, so that nobody can say, "Well, I didn't know what God's Word says." No, if you're doing your job, if you're teaching and preaching and doing what God has called you to do, those people will know the truth. They'll hear it. Now, whether they remember it or not is another thing. Or whether they obey it or not is another thing. But always the truth. And that's what Joshua's done. Sadly, too many Christians today just keep their mouths closed. Why do you think our country is the shape that it's in today? Too many Christians have lost their backbones. When these laws come about, passing these perverted laws of this land, Joshua is giving them a reminder here of what they're to do as children of God. They're not to serve other gods. They're not to follow after the gods of their fathers on the other side of the flood. You remember that's why God destroyed these people. They were not worshiping Him. They were not holding God up as they should have. And so, listen, our country, we have let, as Christians, we have let this country fall apart. We've allowed these politicians to get into office that are passing all these perverted laws and all these things that are against Christian values and morals. And we can place it on the shoulders, the blame on the shoulders of Christians and the church. We need to do the right thing. And so too many people shake like reeds in the wind, too scared to open their mouths. We don't want to get made fun of or anybody say anything against us. We just want to get along with everybody. That is fine, but first of all, the truth of God's Word must be held up. We must hold that up. And so Joshua was not afraid of offending anyone. Listen, he's 110 years old. His days of offending people are about over, and he doesn't care. So he's going to tell them exactly what they need to know, and they need to fear the Lord. Then he goes even further by really letting them have it. He says this, "Put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt." What does he mean, put away the gods which your father served? Were they worshiping false gods? Certainly they were. Their fathers had brought these false idols. And back in those days, they would make them out of different things. But one of their main ways they did it, they would take actually dung, which was manure, and they would carve it into little idols. And they would put these idols away. And then they would bring them out, and they would worship them. Well, obviously, they handed these idols down to their children and their children. And they're passing down these idols from their fathers and worshiping these things. And so Joshua's warning them about it. They were coming in just like all of God's people. They would congregate together as they would assemble as an assembly. In the Old Testament, it wasn't the church like the New Testament church, but it was an assembly of God's people. They would come in and go through all the rituals and routines, a lot like people do today in church. Go through, you wear the right clothes, you carry the right Bible, you say the right words, you sit on the same pew, you go through all the motions and everything, and you can just go through all this religious routine and then not be living the way that you should. That's what they're doing. They're going through the motions of being one of God's children, but yet they're not doing what they're supposed to do. They're bowing down to false idols. So they would come in and congregate together with the rest of the people, worship God, then go home, open up their closet, get out their little dung idols and worship those things. Yeah? Now I'm sure when Joshua decided to have this final meeting, there was another time in history of the children of Israel on his mind. If you look at Exodus chapter 32, 1 through 12, Moses, he'd been up on Mount Sinai 40 days and 40 nights. He's been receiving the law from God. I'm going to turn there, Exodus 32, 1 through 12. And this is probably fresh on Joshua's mind when he's telling them this. And we all remember this is a very familiar story. Look at it there, Exodus 32, starting with verse 1. "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron, and said unto him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives and your sons and your daughters, and bring them unto us. And all the people brake off the golden earrings which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool, after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early in the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them. and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. And Moses besought the Lord his God, said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from off the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. And so Moses, being an intercessor, if I get that right, for the people of Israel, he goes on their behalf to God and says, listen, God, don't destroy them. He knows they've done wrong, but God's ready to destroy those people because of their wickedness. So Joshua knew full well the potential of these people to stray from the true God, the Lord God Jehovah. And by the way, you see, it keeps saying the Lord in all capital letters. That means Jehovah or Yahweh is what that means. And so the children of Israel had the same problem that a lot of people have today. They can't let go of their nasty idols. They can't let go of that thing that attracts their flesh, that thing that they crave to do. And so instead of worshiping God, they worship other things, any objects, anything that pleases them. It could be anything as simple as the television set. Well, I don't have time to go to church. There's this new show coming on, and it comes on the same time church does, so I'm going to have to stay home and watch that program. That's an idol. That's an idol you've set before God. It's a false god. Anything that takes place of God is considered an idol. And so we need to be careful about that. That man, that he worships his beard instead of he does God. That bottle of beer means more to him than the Lord does. How about that one with the marijuana joint hid in his sock drawer? You know, that means more to him than anything. Those nasty magazines that somebody's hooked on pornography and they've got it hid somewhere and they're looking at it. What about those pornographic websites where they've got them bookmarked and they go to see those things? The filthy music they allow to go on in their lives and listen to. All these things are things that are against God, and they become idols in people's lives. Well, Joshua says, fear the Lord and serve him. Get rid of all your nasty idols you're hanging on to. That's my paraphrasing there of it. Well, many of these people had these idols, like I said, passed down, no doubt, from their fathers, from their family, their ancestors. And they're obviously holding on to them, and Joshua knows about it. And he says, you need to get that out of your life. It does not set well with God. So that's what they did. So he tells them to get rid of their idols. And many of these people, like I said, probably had idols in their homes that were hidden and they would bring out. And what he's trying to tell them is God don't want your part-time. God himself says, I am a jealous God. And that's not the kind of jealousy that we have as humans. Our jealousy is more flesh. His is a righteous jealousy because he did create us. He is our God. And if we go and worship something besides him, then he has every right to be jealous. And so Joshua says, fear the Lord and serve him. Now, look at verse 15. Verse 15 is our key text. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So Joshua's not going to back down here. He's going to let them have it with a 1-2 punch. He tells them that they need to choose, and they need to choose right now, this very moment. As we are here in the midst of God's presence, you see the ark sitting right there. God's presence is with us. We're assembled together as God's people. I am the leader that God has chosen to lead you. And you better decide at this very moment who you're going to serve. If you don't think it's right to serve the Lord God Jehovah, then you go serve that other God that you think's best. But you do it right now. And so you're either going to serve him or you're going to serve those false gods that's been passed down to you. There's no other choice here. There's not a third option. It's either the Lord God Jehovah or it's a false god. There's no in between. And so Jesus himself says this in Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and man. So it's obvious that we are unable to serve two gods at the same time. It's only one. If Joshua were like a present day preacher, he may say something like, friends, you need to make up your mind right now which God you're going to serve. Is it going to be the Lord God in heaven? Are you going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are you going to allow your flesh to pull you in the opposite direction? Are you going to allow the devil to take over your life and do those things? And so Joshua, at 110 years old, knowing he would soon be drawing his last breath on earth, and he makes this profound statement, "But as for me and my house," in other words, me, my wife, my children, my grandchildren, even my dog is going to serve the Lord God Jehovah. All right? The music that we listen to is going to be godly music. The programs that we decide to watch are not going to be filled with the filth of the world. The books that we read are not going to be these books that glorify the devil. The way that we dress, the way that we behave ourselves in public, it's not going to be like the world is. It's going to be the way that God would approve of. And so we're going to serve the Lord God Jehovah. And he says, "You do what you think's best, but this is what I think is best for me and my house." Friends, we need more people today to stand up and say, "Listen, this world may be going to hell in a handbasket. I mean, it is going fast. The way people are acting, the way people are living today, they're doing that. They're serving false gods. They're serving the devil. But you better believe me and my house are not going to. We're going to do the right thing, and we're going to serve God." What do you think? Why do you think we have these generations of people today that do not attend church? They don't have any concept of church. They're because their parents quit taking them. Now, as generations and generations are going, the previous generation has failed, the one that's here currently. They don't understand the things of church and the things of God. They've not been taught that. And so we see that in just one generation, things can drastically change. And by the way, children watch what their parents do, and they imitate that. If a parent sees no worth in going to church, then their children are not going to either. If they don't go to church on a regular basis, they don't educate their children religiously and tell them about Jesus, they're not going to do it either. And the same is true the opposite way. If they do other things they should not do, if they are indulging into the things of the world and allowing that into their homes and their lives, so will the children. And so it just they imitate them. I always imitated my dad when I was growing up. I've used this illustration many times. His dad would walk through the garden. I tried to walk in his footsteps. I tried to walk like he did and talk like he did and act like he did because I imitated him, because I looked up to him and I loved him. If we love the Lord and we look up to the Lord, we all want to imitate him and not this old world that we live in. So it's too important to ignore today. And like I said earlier, we can lay the fault on the shoulders of the church and the members of the church and Christians today by not standing up and going about the Father's business the way we're supposed to. We need more Joshuas today to stand up and say, "Listen, you may think it's right to serve those false gods. You may think it's okay to indulge in that sin you're in. You may think it's all right to do those dirty things you're doing, but I want you to know it's not all right in God's eyes. Me and my house, me and my family, we are not going to live that way. We're going to live for the Lord." If we had more people that would stand up and do that, and when they see something happening, like in their family or in, you know, someone they have some kind of influence with, when they see something like that, if they'll just simply stand up and say what's true in God's eyes about it and not allow it to keep going. And so there's scores of people today that are dropping off and going to hell. Every second, people are dying every second, just like that, and the majority of them are dropping off into a devil's hell. But nobody's warning. It must begin not in the church house. It must begin in our house. It must begin with us as individuals, as families, as mothers and fathers, as children, grandparents. It must begin at home and then into the church house. And we see these things will start getting better. But which one will you choose? Will you choose the gods of your fathers on the other side of the flood? Those back in Egypt, they bowed down to those false idols in Egypt. Or are you going to serve the Lord God Jehovah? Which will you choose? Well, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the message tonight. I pray it's been helpful. God, I pray that you instill within us the need to have the proper fear of you, God, to have the proper respect, God, to stand up for the truth, God, to stand against this world, this wickedness all around us, and serve the Lord God and Him alone. Lord, we pray for this church. We pray, Lord, that You help us, and that everything we do will be according to Your will. And God, we pray for those that are here tonight. We pray for those that may have listened to this online. God, we want to be a blessing to them, and if You'll just use us for it, and we'll give You the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee. Peace, be still. In all of my ebb and flow. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing. Keeps me singing as I go. All my life was wrecked by sin and strife. Discord filled my heart with pain. Jesus swept across the broken strings. Stirred the slumbering chords again. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing. Keeps me singing as I go. Soon He's coming back to welcome me. Far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown. I shall reign with Him on high. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Sweet.